first candle symbolizes hope and is called the prophet's candle. The prophets of the Old Testament, especially Isaiah, waited in hope for the Messiah's arrival. O God, we light this first candle of Advent. We kindle it with hope. We long for you to come to our world to break through and reign with compassion, justice, and peace. The prophet Isaiah also cried to God to tear open heaven and come down. He called God's people to do right. Isaiah called them to be refashioned like clay by God the potter. This Advent, we call out to God, come to us.
A secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Good morning, and welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement here at Sandusky First is love, care, and share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our lay servant this morning is Russ Shoemaker, who will bring us this morning's message. I am Roger Williamson, worship leader for this morning. We don't have any specific prayer concerns. We know that there are hundreds out there. And our hearts and our prayers go out to those who are going through these difficult times. This morning, we give specific thanks for all the prayers that have gone out to our pastor and her husband, Pastor Sue, and her husband, Jim. Pastor Sue is on the road to recovery, and her husband, Jim, is doing well. This morning, we do have some birthdays and anniversaries. We have Ron Payne, Al Stone, and Veronica Borstivo. And our anniversaries this morning are Steve and Mary Hartwick and Bob and Marilyn Stoliker. And we wish them many, many more. At this time, we would ask everyone to please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Our praise song this morning, our praise songs, I should say, are The First Noel and Love Came Down at Christmas.
So shining in the east beyond them far and to the earth it gave great light and so it continued both day and night.
Through our hearts may He dwell shine.
This morning, this is the second week, as we all know, the second Sunday of Advent. And at this time, we will hear verse 2 of the Advent song.
Light the Advent candle too. Think of humble shepherds who, filled with wonder at the sight of the child on Christmas night. Candle, candle, burning bright, shining in the cold winter night. Candle, candle, burning bright, fill our hearts with Christmas light.
This morning, I have two readings on this second week of Advent. One from the book of Isaiah and the other from the book of Mark. Reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice cries out. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up high on a mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And our second reading comes from the first chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I. The straps of those sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Our lists are long, even in the strange mess where we live these days. And we want to do it right. We want to be safe. But we want to be able to enjoy the season. We've got work to do to put right what has gone wrong, to heal what is broken, to mend the relationships, and to prepare for the company that will come.
The prophet Isaiah reminded us that there is work to be done. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. When God comes in, then healing us is to be found. But we need to make the way. We need to open the door into our lives.
So, we light these candles as a sign of our faith that the God we worship is not far from us, and that we can clear the way for that God to come and dwell with us. We light these candles in faith that company is coming.
O come, Emmanuel. So for those of you listening, the candles are lit and we continue our service. Would you please join me in the call to worship? If you have a bulletin, it's printed there. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way to our salvation. Give us grace to heed these warnings and forsake our sins, that we may celebrate right the commemoration of the Nativity, and may await with joy the coming in glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And we continue our service this morning with the next hymn, What Child Is This?
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet while shepherds watch our keeping. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son.
It's now time in our service when if the kids were here, we would spend a few minutes with them. But, of course, there are no kids in the service this morning, but I'm sure there are some listening on the radio. And what I wanted to talk to you about this morning is, and I know you don't remember this, but your parents remember when you were a baby. And one of the first things that they always looked for, your parents always looked for you when you were little, was your first. They remember the first time you rolled over. They remember the first time you smiled. They remember your first word. And mom wasn't happy if it was dada. And dad wasn't happy if it was mama. But we all remember the first word. And for some of us, I know it was tractor or some other word that came out of somewhere. But you all had a first. And as you grew up, you had your first day of school, or you will have your first day of school. You have your first trip to the dentist. You have your first vaccination shot or whatever. There's always a first for everything. But one of the things that I want to emphasize this morning is that when you were a child, your parents, your grandparents, everybody around you, your older brothers and sisters, whoever, all looked forward to your very first step. Your very first step was very important because after that, the next one was easier, the next one was easier, and pretty soon they were stepping all over the place, and sometimes mom and dad thought, gee, I wish we could put an end to the walking. I can't keep up. But my point is that whenever anybody takes anything on in life, starting as an infant, there's always the first time. You always have to take the first step. And when we get to the message this morning, that's one of the things I want to talk to the congregation about, is that it's necessary not only take the first step, but you have to follow through and you have to continue stepping along, doing whatever it is you have to do with your life. So if the kids would take a couple minutes and bow with me in prayer, I thank God for the kids in our community. I thank God for the kids in our church. And I pray, Lord, that when the parents think about them and reminisce, they think back to the firsts. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless these kids, bless this community. And I pray, Lord, that we will have a very Merry Christmas in the village of Sandusky. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
And I want to thank Roger for stepping up this morning. He's here as a volunteer. That's a good thing. I ask you to join me this morning now in the spirit of prayer. This morning, our local business that we pray for is the Radloff Custom Metal and Paint. And Lord, we come before you this morning truly humbled because we know the pandemic is among us. We know those who have COVID. We know those who have other diseases. We can't overlook that in this world. There's more than just COVID out there. And we pray, Lord, for relief. We pray for the vaccination to come to fruition. We pray, Lord, that we will get control of this and that we will be able to turn back and get back to the normal lifestyle that we used to take for granted way too often. We ask that you be with those who are suffering, be with those people and their families, Lord. We pray for treatment. We pray for recovery. Give thanks and praise to those in our congregation who have recovered from COVID and are returning back to their normal life. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray, Lord, for our government. We pray for our leaders during this difficult time of transition and the health crisis. It seems that's all we hear about anymore. And there certainly is a lot to think about when we hear about these things. We pray, Lord, that the people who are in charge will do what is right for the people of this country, that they will look to you for guidance. They will look to you for instruction. They will look to you for strength to make the right decisions, to do what is best for the will of the people, to do what is best for all the people of this country. Lord, we are grateful for the freedom we have to worship you, to prepare our hearts with this season of Advent. We celebrate your life. We celebrate your presence in our lives. And we pause as individuals for you to give thanks to you for your love for each one of us. And I ask you now to join, please, with me in the spirit of prayer, with the prayer that you taught, that Jesus taught his disciples so many, many years ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The word of God for the people of God. And now we continue our service with the hymn, There's a Song in the Air. Continue on now with this morning's gospel reading, taking from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And once again, the word of God for the people of God. Hey, step it up. Step on it. Don't step in it. Or worse yet, don't forget to follow your steps. One step at a time. Step by step. You need to follow the necessary steps. Step up. Step down. Step in. Step out. While I know I can't see them, but I can imagine the wheels are turning. What does all this yammering about steps have to do with this week's lighting of the Advent candle, symbolizing love? Well, I just ask you to stick with me, and hopefully we will all figure this out together. There is a method to my sanity. Since the beginning of the celebration of Advent in the Christian church, it is and has always been a process, a step-by-step approach that culminates with the lighting of the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. Every step follows protocol and is part of an annual tradition. Think about this for a minute. For many of you, this is not your first proverbial rodeo. You have experienced many Christian sermons, many messages on the topic of love. Some of you have probably come to expect another one this year. Creatures of habit, we are. Where better to hear a message about love than during a Sunday morning church service, even though you are in the comfort of your own home, your own car, wherever you might be? And even that involved a process or steps to get you here at this time and at this place. I trust that everyone has a full cup of coffee. There aren't too many times that before we do something, we have to take the necessary steps to do so. Life is a process that revolves around the individual steps we all have to take to achieve our goals. And that is nothing new. Let's go way back in time and remind ourselves as to how and why the world was created in the first place. God created the world, as we know it, in 6 days, or steps, that Genesis tells us. And then, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we are told, "Thus, the heavens and the earth, and all the host of them, were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made." Step by step, just like any of us when we undertake a project, build a house, bake a cake, plant a field, or do anything else you would like to add to the list. Things that you might do for a variety of reasons, not discounting that they are often done out of love. And even though most, probably safe to say, none of us will ever create anything as monumental as God did, we should all be grateful to him for the creating the world that he did, so that each of us can create our own world within that one he created for us. In fact, I hope right now, you who are all sitting comfortably in a home that is filled with the love of God, Listen to these familiar words from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Obviously, these words were not written just for wedding ceremonies, although they are very fitting. But a wedding ceremony only lasts maybe a short hour. The marriage itself, hopefully, a lifetime. Living is a process from beginning to end that requires us to function in specific ways if we want to do what we want to do, or if we want to get where we want to go. And that's a direct clue as to where I want to go with this message this morning. But stay with me as I digress just a bit. There's a reason I want you to accompany me on this journey. So sit back, get comfortable, another cup of coffee if you need it, and let's take steps together to reach a common destination. And think of these words from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, as we go. A man's steps are of the Lord. How can a man understand his own way? I love, and I put that in big capital letters, L-O-V-E, I love to go to the walking path in Sandusky, Diamond Trail. I'm sure I've seen some of you there. And while I realize that walking might not be everyone else's cup of tea or coffee, if you choose, doing what some might say is aimlessly walking around a mile track, I find it refreshing, relaxing, and even invigorating. I even have a Fitbit to count my steps. I set annual goals, and every completed lap is an accomplishment, a personal achievement, a step toward accomplishing that goal. Time not wasted. And as talented as I am, I can do two things at the same time. Sometimes, often, I think, maybe even meditate while I step along the path. I'm sure that parts of this message came to me while I walked. Sometimes I just enjoy the world of nature as I walk. Sometimes I walk with a friend. And I know that physical steps are beneficial to good health. In fact, many experts say we should all strive for 10,000 steps a day. That's a lot of steps. After striving to reach that goal for a while, imagine my dismay when I heard another of the experts say 7,500 steps were adequate per day, and anything over that was just wasted time and energy. Go figure. What I do know is that physical steps can strengthen and improve your physical health and your well-being. Well, maybe walking isn't for you. Well, no problem. But would you agree with me if I said we all need to set some goals for our daily living? And we have to take whatever steps are necessary to accomplish them. And then add this to the mix. These words taken from Psalms 119, verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Think about that while you're stepping along. And don't forget to throw love into your recipe for living. We aren't finished with that one yet either. More to come later. I've learned that starting a normal walk on a normal day does not ensure for a second that it's going to end that way. In fact, it can become very humbling. I have two examples to show this to be true. One morning, as I was stepping along, I came upon a regular fellow walker who it appeared was also out on his normal routine. As I approached him and we exclaimed mutual greetings, I commented as to what a great day it was. His response took me back as he said that it wasn't such a good day. He went on to say that if his son had not died, that day would have been his 39th birthday. I really was not prepared for that. If not literally, at least figuratively, I stepped back. Suddenly, my day was not so good either. The loss of a loved one is very powerful and painful. I know some of you already know that, but it does help us understand the power of love. Another time, as I walked, in the distance, I noticed a tall man with a walking stick coming toward me. As we drew closer to each other, I recognized him as another frequent visitor to the walking path. But what was different was that previously he was always accompanied by his wife. That day, she was not there. He told me that he knew I was there because he recognized my truck. And he walked the opposite way because he wanted to meet me and let me know that his wife had been placed in the medical care facility. From now on, he would be walking alone. Once again, my mind became subdued. Walk a mile in my shoes again entered my mind. And even though his wife was not physically present, the power of his love for her obviously was. So love is a gift, and those of us who've experienced it know of its value. Who doesn't want to be loved by someone? Or better yet, who doesn't want the experience of loving someone? But I ask you to consider this. The greatest love story ever told is the one of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Doing so, he has made a path for us to enter into eternal life with him in paradise. Jesus came to show us that he desires a relationship with us. He wants nothing more, nothing less than for us to receive his unconditional love. He took our guilt and shame upon himself on the cross and daily provides us with grace, mercy, and thankfully, do-overs. Jesus came to serve us and be sacrificed for our foolishness and our misdeeds. He wants us to feel and experience this kind of love. And we can only love as Jesus did, or still does, when we are willing to receive his amazing love. Today, it is up to us, you and me, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. When we are filled with his love, we can go out into the world and spread it to others. This happens through missionaries, evangelists, pastors, teachers, parents, friends, siblings, a host of others, and maybe most important, you. I hope and that was last week's Advent focus, that it is becoming increasingly obvious why love is so instrumental in observing the season of Advent. There's no greater love than the love of Jesus for you. It doesn't get any more personal. It doesn't get any better than that. Not only does Jesus show us a more meaningful way to live, he also gives us the means, the strategies, the discernment, and the wisdom to do so. He speaks to us in different ways, such as through scripture, music, friends, visions, miracles, and more. He has the ability and the power to change our way of thinking. Galatians 22, verse 23 tells us, "But the spirit of love is the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Did you catch that? I wonder how many laws have been written and enacted against hate crimes. It took us a while, but I think we have all reached that final common destination that I referenced earlier in this message. As Christians, and realizing all that God himself and through Jesus did for us, for you and me, we know that we must take whatever steps are necessary to fulfill these instructions, as stated by Jesus in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So this is the word of God, as promised by God himself, has come to fruition, all in the name of love. Step one was the prophecy found throughout the Old Testament, specifically Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 prophesies, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And that's why we're here today, in celebration of that prophecy fulfilled. Advent, step two. We validate that prophecy. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." More prophecies were to come and more fulfillment, but those are for another time. So, my friends, we come to a crossroads. We know that God loves us, and we all say that we love him. But we also know that's not enough. Normally, for Christmas and other special occasions, we go through the gift-giving process as a way of showing our love. That's a given. But when it comes to giving to God, that's a whole new ball game. God doesn't personally need or want anything. Think about it. He already has paved streets of gold. How could we possibly top that? Well, it's easy. By doing what he asks or instructs us to do according to his word. Joshua 24:15 in part reads, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And John 12:26 says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." And how, one might ask, can I best serve Christ? We could probably go on forever detailing ways, but consider these for starters. Volunteer in your community. Place others first in your day-to-day routine. Adjust your schedule. Ask God to change your heart. Perform simple acts of kindness. Listen to God, because he knows what you can and should do. And obviously, these are not the only ways there are to serve God, but they are a good start for someone who is taking that first step toward fulfilling the desire to meet Jesus on his terms. And remember, simple is often better. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, 28-30, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So this time that we have spent together here this morning will come to an end, and soon, I promise. And when it does, some of you will listen to the news, weather, and obituaries before you turn your radios off. Others will turn their radios off with the completion of the service. Whatever category you fall under, remember this. Your relationship with God does not end when the radio is shut off. God's love for you does not stop when the radio is off. God's love for you does not end on Christmas Eve with the conclusion of Advent. God's love for you is eternal, not an annual one-hour booster shot in the arm. And it really doesn't matter if you take 7,500 steps or 10,000 steps daily. You took on the commitment to do what God has called you to do, to live a life of service to others, when you, in the spirit of love, accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. In Luke chapter 6, 35, Jesus tells you, "Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." What a great way to live an earthly life. So one more time, I tell you, step on it. Step it up. If necessary, yes, step in it. Go and proclaim the good news. Your Savior, who is Jesus Christ the Lord, was born, lived, and died. All true. But there was one more step in God's plan. Jesus rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And this all happened because of God's love for you. The ushers will now take up our offering. I remind you that while the church is closed, we are still in operation. And if you'd like to send a donation or your donation, your pledge to the church, you can send it to the church office at any time. And our concluding hymn this morning is, "O Come All Ye Faithful."